You are tuned in to KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Development and Events Committee meets on the third Monday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being...
Tune in to Locus Focus, a weekly conversation about our place on the planet, every Monday morning at 10 on KBOO Community Radio. Each week, host Barbara Bernstein talks with local, regional, and national experts, activists, and policymakers about climate change, river protection, the transition from fossil fuels to renewable energy, salmon restoration, forest management, and all the other things that are critical to protect our planet. That's every Monday at 10 a.m. on your community radio station, KBOO.
Ayo, this is Clipping. You're listening to KBOO.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9:02 a.m. Next up is Veterans Voice.
My name is Palestine and I will remain. She's holding a flag so very high, raises her voice with such a strong cry. She's a symbol of a people who refuse to die. Says, my name is Palestine and I will survive. I will survive, I will survive. My name is Palestine and I will survive. I will remain, I will remain. My name is Palestine and I will remain. The forces of darkness can't extinguish the flame of the freedom in your eyes and the love you retain. These are more powerful than the weapons of war. With their terror and lies, but you bring something more. And all across Palestine, they've had enough of killing and wounding from Israeli guns. Want no more occupation, no more siege, no more brutality, they just want peace. I will survive, I will survive. My name is Palestine and I will survive. They've tried to make disappear. It's a people they've tried to make you fear. But the welcome they give you always means Palestine gets under your skin. I will survive, I will survive. My name is Palestine and I will survive. I will remain, I will remain. My name is Palestine and
make her voice with such a strong cry. A symbol of a people who refuse to die. She says, my name is Palestine and I will survive. My name is Palestine and I will survive. My name is Palestine and I will survive. My name is Palestine and I will survive.
Portland calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, 104.3 FM in Corvallis, and 91.9 FM Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. I'm Marvin, and Ty is engineering the show today. Thank you, Ty. Today's my brother's, my younger brother's birthday today, and he lives down in Yahats, and he is 70 years old today. My younger brother, who passed away at the age of 58 from lung cancer from smoking, his birthday was October 28th. My sister, who lives in Roseburg, her birthday is October 23rd. And my birthday was October 21st. So we had like one birthday party for all three of us. And my brother, other brother, had to wait till the 17th to have his birthday. I want to say hi to some really good friends of mine. Tracy, her mom, Mitty, her daughter Yasmin, who is visiting from Morocco, and the twin boys, Omar and Amin. They're just wonderful people, and I enjoy being around them. And I'm going to spend Thanksgiving with them and probably Christmas because they live pretty close up on Dingheiser where I live. I also want to say hi to my good Army buddy, Gary, and his wife, Darla, who live in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I want to say hello to my friend of over 30 years, a great peace activist and a very caring person who had been married to a veteran, Kathy, who lives in Aloha. So, you know, it's important to have good friends, and all of those folks I just mentioned are really good friends. Not only those, but all of you listeners on KBOO are good friends, too. You've let me be on the, well, you let this show be on air for 33, going on 33 years now. And, you know, when we started this show, it was when they were doing the build-up to the Iraqi war, which, you know, has never ended and it's still going and going and going. But I want to, you know, Kathy sent me this. I heard some about it on radio show. It's Russian artist jailed for 7 years over anti-war price tag protest. Her name is Alexandra Skolachenko, and she was convicted of spreading false information after she replaced five supermarket price tags with criticism of Russia's war in Ukraine. 7 years for putting these little tags on. She gets 7 years. And if you listen to early on in KBOO on Democracy Now!, you know, they talked about how the police have just been brutal, brutal to peace activists that who are against the war on the Palestinian people. And they've been brutal to folks, you know, but we're going to keep on going. We're going to keep on going out there because this mass slaughter of innocent people is definitely not a great thing. My printer didn't work again. Again, folks, I got to get it back online, so I had to write all this stuff down. The death in 40 days, in Palestine, 11,500 people are dead from the bombings and the rocket attacks and just the brutality of that small area of Palestine. You know, I remember looking on Germany after World War II and looking at Japan after World War II and just the complete annihilation and the killings, you know. I studied the Warsaw Ghetto and what they did in the Nazis did at the Warsaw Ghetto. No power, no water. The people are blocked in, no medicine or anything. Oh, that sounds really familiar, doesn't it? It kind of sounds like what happened to Gaza. You know, the Gaza Ghetto now. No medicine. People are dying in the hospitals because they don't have oxygen for some of them. The babies are dying because they just have no medicine to keep these premature babies alive. I just think how terrible that is. To be in that situation, to be where every day you don't know if you're going to live or die. You don't know if your family's going to live or die. And some of the hardest peace activists in this country are to end this war, to end this brutality, the genocide of the Palestinian people, are Jewish people. If not now. You know, if not now. Jews for peace. They're really standing up and they're taking it, you know, they're making their voices heard. And they're some of the people that are getting beat up by the cops, being pepper sprayed, being clubbed by the police. These people who went to that humanity is not happening in Palestine. You know. And of all those 11,500 people who have been killed, 5,000 of them are babies. Little babies have nothing to do with politics. Have no say in their life. The only thing they worry about is, you know, being healthy and having milk to drink and have food and growing up without having to worry about being bombed or shot at or rocketed. These little babies have nothing to do with that. And it's not just Palestine that's getting brutalized now either. It's the West Bank. You know, the West Bank has been, since 1948, have been just fighting just for survival also. Their land's getting confiscated by settlers, Jewish settlers that come and take over their land, being killed by settlers. You know, at the same time that this is going on with the people in Gaza, 178 people in the West Bank have been killed. And I don't know how many of those were children. You know, that body count, and I hate to say body count, but that's what it is. in Palestine and in Gaza is going to get way higher because there's a lot of people, a lot of human beings are under those piles of rubble from the bombing of homes and apartment buildings and just buildings coming down. When they were told to leave northern Gaza to go to the south, you know, they were attacked on their way to the south, and many of them were killed on their way to the south. When you turn off the power, when you turn off the water supply, when you stop medicines from and food from coming in, if you stop the fuel that they need to run their generators in these hospitals, and how many people have died because of that? You know, who's going to be left to run Gaza? Such that these people are so traumatized now. The younger children who have survived so far, they're going to be traumatized for the rest of their lives. The rest of their lives are going to be traumatized. You know, as Vietnam veterans, we know what trauma is. These children are going to have PTSD on steroids. The same with their mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles and cousins and friends. They're all traumatized now. You know, if you go back and you look at how that area was all divided up by the British, you know, the British, if you look back in history on some of these places in the world that had to fight to get these people out of their country, these countries in Africa, countries in Asia, just to get these people out of their country so they could rule their own lives. You know, you look back and the same countries keep popping up. Britain, France, Spain, Portugal. You know, you go back farther to the Ottoman Empire. And look what the Ottoman Empire did. You look at the Romans, what the Romans did to people. And one thing, you know, I study history a lot. One of the things I you know, now in England they're finding these old Roman forts and stuff that have, you know, been gone for a long time. And one of the interesting things is that when an empire starts to implode and they start pulling back, you know, like the Roman Empire did, they just left those soldiers and people where they were, you know. So they became part of that country, like Britain. And haven't even got into what the United States have done from the minute they stepped foot on this country. I don't think there's probably been many years without having troops somewhere fighting. You know, a lot of people don't understand, or don't know, I'm not sorry, you know, I should have said don't understand, because all of you understand what happened. But after Korea and before they really start fighting in Vietnam, the United States got involved in a war between two factions in the Dominican Republic. And the United States always seems to be on the side of the most horrible part of a government, you know. They always seem to go to the dictators, support those dictators. I heard this on the news early on that the United States has still been sending weapons to the people that are killing the people in Palestine. They're sending weapons still to Israel. And if you have all these, United States has this huge, huge military budget. Just huge. And if you got something that big, you're going to use it. And boy, we've learned that in the history of this country. Look at South America, Central America, what the United States did. Not only the United States, but Portugal, Spain, these same countries keep popping up. And we have to, you know, most of the people now have really come to understand what the United States does, how they provide all these weapons for these countries around the world, and how they always seem to give them to countries, like I was saying, you know, these dictators, these fascist-leaning, or pure fascist governments around the world. And that's really sad. You know, we have folks in this country that do not have medical care, do not have enough food, do not have a place to live, cannot get an education. Only the rich seem to be able to send their children to school and not come out, these kids, rich kids, come out with having, you know, pay back a loan or a grant. Like, grants you don't pay back, but loans you pay back. And some of those loans are huge. People be paying for those for 40 years or more, it seems like, before it's all done. To get a job, just to support their families, their medical care in this country. I'm very lucky. I have the VA, you know, for my medical care, for my dental and glasses and just medical care. And they take really good care of us, but sometimes it's really hard to get into that system. That's the problem of getting into the system. But once you do, you're pretty good. With a lot of the, you know, women have always been in American military, but it seems like more and more and more women now are in the military and are now veterans. And the VA system is not set up for women to give birth in a VA facility. They send the women to a different hospital. I'm pretty sure here in Portland they probably send them over to OHSU to have wonderful little children. But they're just not made up. They're not for women having babies. I hate to say it. I was following, and I was going to print it out, but my printer doesn't work. All the wars and revolutions and internal strifes, not quite a revolution, going on in this country, in this world, and there is a lot. You know, sometimes they're fighting to get, like I said, you know, an outside force out of their country, or they're fighting internally to see who's going to be the big boss. But there's a lot. If you ever look it up, there's a lot going on in this world. A lot of violence in this world on people just trying to live their life like they want to live it. And one of the things I've been following is the war, internal war, in the country of Myanmar. It used to be called Burma. And they had a democracy for a while. And it seemed to be doing pretty good. They had the military under control. But in 2021, the military had a coup, and they took over the running of that country. And they started killing their own again, the protesters against the coup. They started killing the protesters, the young people who got out into the streets and wanted to have their democracy back. And it's been two long, bloody years, and they're still fighting it in Myanmar. You know, in just those 2 years, 6,330 civilians have been killed by the dictatorship, the military coup in Myanmar. And they're having the citizens that are fighting back, they had to leave, they had to go out of the cities and go out into the jungles to organize themselves, to learn how to fight against the fascist government. And in Myanmar, up on the Chinese border, I think there's like three different indigenous militias up there who have been fighting for a long time. And they have started, well, they have started, and they're doing it now, teaching the citizens how to protect themselves and how to fight the fascist military there now. And they're having a lot of luck. I think that the government was getting weapons from, I think, Russia and China. I'm pretty sure China, but I also think Russia. But the United States did put an embargo against sending weapons to the coup. But before that, they had been sending them weapons. Been sending them weapons to kill their own citizens. That's just, gee, that's how that works, huh? But now with these organizations, militias, different militias getting together, Ty, I want to go ahead and play that second song, buddy. And, okay, go ahead and start that, and I'll come back. I want to talk about a lot more stuff when after this song's over. It's another great song about Palestine. So...
Disappeared somewhere.
That's another really good song. And the singer of those songs, his name is Garth Hewitt. And those are really poignant songs. He's talking about the refugee camps in Lebanon. The one thing that the Palestinian people have they're just controlled. Their whole daily life is controlled by Israel. I mean, everything about their life is controlled. But one thing that Palestinians do not have, and that's the right of return. They do not have the right of return to go to Palestine, to go to Gaza, or go to the West Bank. They don't have it. And if they had it, boy, that'd be a lot more people. And they could really make a good change. They could make that those two areas pretty nice if there wasn't a blockade. But that's a lot of people that can't come home. That cannot come home. So I just wanted to bring that up. This country is not immune to people who like authoritarian leadership or fascist leaderships. Authoritarianism is not far underneath the surface of the population of the United States. You know? And they look at this horrible, horrible person, George H.W. Bush, you know, you can name him, but this guy is really a horrible person, and that's Donald Trump. He is such a threat to democracy, of true democracy in this country. His speeches have gotten to be more and more authoritarian. He has always put in certain words that kind of show how he thinks. Even though he's under indictment for a lot of different horrible stuff, you know. In New York City, he's under indictment. For Georgia, he's under indictment. His whole family is, his two sons, I don't know if his daughter, the one daughter, is under indictment, but the two boys, well, boys are in the, what, 30s, 40s, they're not boys, under indictment. But this guy, he's really ramped up his rhetoric. You know, he comes out with these speeches and he puts in these little sayings like, I'm the only one that can do it. And he pledges to do it. He pledges to root out communists, Marxists, fascists, which he's a fascist, and radical left thugs that live like vermin within the confines of our country, that lie and steal and cheat on elections. Millions of Americans, millions and millions of Americans really buy into that. They really buy into his trash. Because that's all it is trash. But he has these right-wing white supremacists, and he has these right-wing militias. Even though with the riots and the try to overthrow this last election on January 6th, a couple years ago, that was just the tip of the iceberg on how some of these people in this country feel. A lot of those people are getting some pretty long prison terms for what they did at the Capitol on January 6th. You're going to prison for a long time, some of them. And some of them got easier sentences, but they all bought into his rhetoric, into his talk about how he can change everything. You know, go back and check on some of the speeches that the horrible murdering of Jewish people Adolf Hitler did. Listen to his speeches. The only thing really different is Hitler had his stupid-looking little mustache, and he screamed and yelled while he was giving speeches, and people were loving it. They were loving it. And Hitler came out of World War I. When Germany was really under the thumb of the so-called winners of that war, the war to end all wars. Like our good buddy Bill Byers used to say, then why'd they give it a number if there wasn't going to be any more wars? Why'd they give it a number? Just go back and read some of those speeches and see the words he puts in. Only I can do it. Vermin. Root out. All of this. And it all, and they always have the certain group of people that they're going to go after. And so sorry that what happened to the Jewish people, what the Nazis did to the Jewish people, who did not deserve what happened to them by this fascist man. I always thought it would be kind of cool to go to one of these little stores where you can buy little funny things and buy a mustache, a bunch of mustaches, and cut them down to look like Hitler's mustache and send them to Trump. Just to everybody, sending millions of these little mustaches, you know. If you know how to do it, you know, draw a mustache on him in with those stuff on the internet. Just, you know, draw a little Nazi mustache that this murdering pig had. And just think how careful that, you know, democracies are really fragile. But they're better than the alternative. They're better than the alternative. You know, ask the people of Vietnam. They had to fight so hard to get the French out of their country. They had to fight to get the Chinese out of their country. They fought hard to get the Americans out of their country. They fought hard to get the Cambodians out of their country after the Americans were forced to leave. They had to fight the Chinese after the Americans left. Those people know. They know what it's like to live under the thumb of a country, and they don't like it, and I don't like it either, and I don't like what Trump is trying to do to this country. You know, I look at things like this, strikes that are going on in this country, and I root for every one of those strikers. My dad was a hardcore union man. He was part of the 701 Operating Engineers Union. And he went on those picket lines whenever they went on strike. He would never cross a picket line. And I would never cross a picket line. Ever. I'm glad the United Auto Workers got a pretty good deal. You know, they got some of their stuff they had to give up, but they didn't get everything they wanted, but they got some. You know, I heard they interviewed a woman, one of the United Auto Workers worker female that was on the picket lines, and they were getting all this stuff, and there was people who weren't part of a union, you know, really complaining about how do they get all this stuff and all that. And she said the greatest thing. And she said, just join a union. Join a union. That's all you got to do. Join a union. And boy, that was really right on the mark. Join a union. My computer just, there it is. I lost some stuff, but it's back now. You know, I studied a lot of history in my life, and I always go back and look at the war in Vietnam, and I'm sure the guys that fought in Korea, they do too. They go back and really trying to figure out what happened to them, how it affected their lives to the day they die. And I do the same thing. I go back and I read the history of Vietnam. And I looked at the wars they had to fight. China controlled them for over 1,000 years. They fought China for 1,000 years. And how I look at that, I look at that. I know a lot of guys in Vietnam that were part of the North Vietnamese Army. And I know a lot of folks who were part of the Viet Cong in the southern part of the country. And I talk to them about stuff, you know? Well, I don't, but interpreter, I can talk some and have a good conversation, but there, you know, there's some things I can't say, I don't know. But it's just interesting how their reasoning for their fighting and everything. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. And I was looking about the death rate of Vietnam veterans, and it's pretty high. It's pretty high. And I was looking at some of the things that us guys, I always say us guys, it's women too, I'm so sorry, and the diseases that a lot of us are dying from the Agent Orange. You know, the Agent Orange was a defoliant that this country sprayed all over the South, the southern part of Vietnam during the war. And all the diseases that we get, that the Vietnamese get, too. And it's not only from those folks in the South, that were in the South, but also from the folks that were from the North that went to the South to fight. And then went back home after they won their war. All those diseases from Agent Orange is just so hard. You know, 58,000 Americans died, you know, combat-related deaths. But, you know, 300,000 veterans have died from diseases caused by Agent Orange. More of us have died than I just said that died of combat in Vietnam. You know, Agent Orange, the gift that keeps on giving. I said that one time, and a friend of mine, she said, that's not much of a gift. And it's not. It's not. You know, those companies that manufactured that horrible defoliant that killed everything and still killing us, you know, they just basically got a slap on the wrist. And they're still in business, you know. They're still in business making all of that stuff that, you know, kills us every day of our lives. You know, I was talking to Tracy the other day, and she was talking about, you know, not wanting to put certain things in her body. And it made sense to me. You know, maybe to somebody that doesn't know her, or, you know, but I understand what she was talking about. Chemicals in your body, you know. Our wives had so many miscarriages because of this, because of Agent Orange. And some of the babies that were born were deformed. But not just us as Americans, also the Vietnamese. They don't get much health care for what happened to them. The United States gave a little bit of money to clean up the mess they made. And there's places in Vietnam that nothing's ever going to grow there. And it's off limits to everybody because it's so dangerous. It is so dangerous, that dioxin that was in Agent Orange. Just so horrible. That land can never be used again. That it's completely blocked off so that no one can go near it. That stuff was spread all over the South during the war. Over rice fields that people ate the rice. Onto fruit trees. If they didn't die, their fruit was no good. And soldiers walked right through it. It was sprayed right on them. But what about the people who didn't get to leave, who lived there and farmed that land? And those American chemical companies got a little slap on the wrist from what they did. Just a slap on the wrist. I guess when you have that much money, you make that much money. And the government gets a lot of that money. So I want to go back to Palestine right now I haven't got much time left. I want to go back to Palestine. It was bombed today, again. People were killed again today. How are those people that lost arms and legs and eyes and feet and hands and ears supposed to be medically treated if there's no medicine coming into the country? I think the Los Angeles Times was the only big newspaper that came out and said, ceasefire, stop it, you know? Where's Bernie Sanders, the senator, I think New Hampshire, supposed big peace activist? Why isn't he standing up and saying, stop this bombing and killing of innocent people, of innocent babies and children and old people? You know, where's he at now? He hasn't said it. He hadn't said cease fire. You know, we got to think about that as a people, that we don't want our government fighting a proxy war. Just like they're fighting a proxy war in Ukraine. Like they were fighting a proxy war in the war in Korea. Fighting a proxy war in Vietnam. Even though it's a proxy war, a lot of people got killed. A lot of Americans got killed. A lot of other people were killed. And they want a huge millions of Americans want a fascist government in this country. They want a leader that stands up to those bad guys. Want to be the big guy on the block. I've talked on this show about this country being a big bully in the playground. And it is. It is. If they can't get stuff done through threats and intimidation and funneling money into an opposition candidate around the world, they will start a proxy war. And I'm going to end right now. I'm sorry that it was so bleak today, but it is bleak for the people of Palestine. And it's our government giving the weapons that makes it so bleak for those poor people in Palestine. I'll be back. We'll be back on December 18th at 9 a.m. And Ty, there it is. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And
voice cries out in the wilderness. I hear her call, but I don't know her name. Voice cries again in the wilderness. My name is Palestine and I will remain. She's holding a flag so very high, raises her voice with such a strong cry. She's a symbol of a people who refuse to die. Says my name is Palestine and I will survive. I will survive, I will survive. My name is Palestine and I will survive. I will remain, I will remain. My name is Palestine and I will remain. The forces of darkness can't extinguish the flame of the freedom in your eyes and the love you retain. These are more powerful than the weapons of war. With their terror and lies, but you bring something more. And all across Palestine, they've had enough of killing and wounding from Israeli guns. Want no more occupation, no more siege, no more brutality, they just want peace. I will survive, I will survive. My name is Palestine and I will survive. I will remain, I will remain. My name is Palestine, I will remain. Make a road in the desert for a new dawn to come. Make a road in the desert for equality.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 10 a.m.
But the welcome they give you always means.
Tuned in to listener-supported community radio.
We invite you to participate in our brand new public affairs program, Once Upon a Time. Share with us your memories and touchstone events of your life, of your journey. Join us first and third Friday of the month from 11 to noon here on KBOO 90.7 FM and available online at kboo.fm. Consuelo is my name, and I will be glad to hear from you and reminisce about your journey. Once Upon a Time, live in the air room here at KBOO 90.7 FM. Share with us your memories, experience, and journey of your life. First and third Friday of the month from 11 to noon here at KBOO 90.7 FM.